Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Taiwan, Journey of Falun Dafa Photo Exhibition conveys the essence of Falun Dafa. Australian officials welcome Shen Yun. New York, students of 9-day Falun Dafa seminar persevere amidst winter storms. CCP torture methods, water torture. And over 10,000 in Hebei province sign petition to end live organ harvesting and bring perpetrators to justice. Now for the stories. Taiwan, Journey of Falun Dafa photo exhibition conveys the essence of Falun Dafa. Falun Gong practitioners from the greater Taipei area held the Journey of Falun Dafa photo exhibition at Freedom Square, a famous tourist spot, on February 1, 2015. More than 1,000 practitioners performed the group exercises near the exhibition. The photos display the history and the spread of Falun Gong around the world and demonstrate the acceptance of Falun Gong and acknowledgement by governments and people in various countries. Practitioners also set up photo materials to expose the brutal persecution of Falun Gong in China. Groups of tourists, including many visitors from China, stopped by to watch the exercises, view the photos, and take photos and videos of the event. Some tour guides even led their clients to the exhibition, telling them that in this free country, they can freely take pictures and talk to Falun Gong practitioners. One Chinese gentleman viewed the photos for a long time and stopped in front of a picture of Master Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Gong, correcting a practitioner's movement in a park in Chicago. This gentleman told the practitioner that he was there and saw Master Li. "It was a wonderful experience," he said. "We all know what Falun Gong really is." He pointed to two of his friends and said, "And we have already quit the Communist Party." Mr. Wang, a tourist, condemned the persecution of Falun Gong. "The Communist Party will be punished for the evil crimes it has committed," he said. "The world needs peace and freedom. The belief in Buddhahood will bring peace to the world." The exhibition also offered a great opportunity for Chinese tourists to quit the Chinese Communist Party and its affiliated organizations. Practitioners discussed with tourists the reasons and importance of withdrawing. Many of them expressed that they didn't want to side with the Communist Party. Mr. Tsai, the event organizer, said that Freedom Square has a special meaning. A few years ago, a Chinese Falun Gong practitioner who escaped to Taiwan joined an event here. When he saw the sign Freedom Square, he cried, "Freedom is so precious, but people in China don't have it," he said. "Any tyrants who suppress freedom should be exposed and brought to justice." Australian officials welcome Shen Yun. Shen Yun performances will be hosted in 5 of Australia's 6 most populous cities, in addition to the capital of Canberra. In this season's world tour, the performances will occur between January 30th and February 28th in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, Surfers Paradise, and Canberra. 24 government officials throughout Australia, ranging from members of parliament, senators, mayors, and city council members, have sent proclamation letters wishing the performances great success. This is of particular interest to Chinese citizens, since Shen Yun is banned in mainland China because of its connection to Falun Gong. Such proclamations and official greetings are sought because they show Chinese citizens that Shen Yun is welcomed the world over, as is Falun Gong, despite the pervasive propaganda to the contrary that they have heard for so long back in China. Among them was Honorable Chris Bowen, MP and current Shadow Treasurer of Australia. "I welcome the Shen Yun Performing Arts to Australia for their nationwide tour in February. I hope Australians of all backgrounds have the opportunity to experience this rich and compelling performance of classical Chinese dance, which celebrates traditional Chinese culture, including influences of Buddhism, Taoism, and Confucianism. I wish them the best of luck in their performances and hope they enjoy their time in our beautiful country." Queensland. MPs Bernie Ripple and Graham Parrott are both from the state of Queensland. As Parliamentary Secretary for Small Business, Mr. Ripple wrote, "Firstly, I would like to offer my warmest welcome to Shen Yun Performing Arts for your visit and performance on the Gold Coast and in Brisbane this year. The Falun Dafa Association of Australia are extremely proud to present the world's most renowned classical Chinese dance company, and I trust they will make your time in Queensland very memorable. I would also like to acknowledge Shen Yun's contribution to the revival of the traditional Chinese culture and the promotion of Chinese and Western cultural exchange. I wish you all the very best for your performances in Queensland and Australia-wide." Mr. Graham Parrott, MP, wrote, The Shenyan presentation contributes to the revival of traditional Chinese culture and the promotion of Chinese and Western cultural exchange, and I proudly welcome all performers to our great cities of Brisbane and the Gold Coast. New South Wales. Several MPs from New South Wales, where Sydney is located, wrote to express their greetings. Mr. Jonathan Richard O'Day, MP, wrote, "I am pleased to extend my support and warm greetings to those attending the Shenyan Performing Arts performances. It makes an important contribution to Chinese cultural heritage, with its values of freedom, moral courage, and compassion, which are important throughout our community." Mr. Jamie Parker, MP, a Greens Party member, wrote, "It is with much pleasure that I welcome Shenyan Performing Arts back to Sydney, giving our community this rare opportunity to witness classic Chinese dance and music at its best. Chinese culture is an integral part of our nation, and Shenyan's performances remind us of the stories, ideas, and spirit that have shaped Chinese communities everywhere. Congratulations to the organizers for their commitment to ensuring classical Chinese culture remains alive and vibrant for people of all backgrounds to appreciate." John Hugh, a councillor from Sydney's suburban city, Parramatta, was excited to welcome Shenyan Performing Arts touring Australia again this year because a Shenyan performance is a great opportunity for not only local communities of Chinese cultural heritage, but also broader Australian communities to experience traditional Chinese culture through dance and music. Being of Chinese culture background myself, I am anxious to watch this performance for the fourth time in Sydney. The performance offers me the chance to celebrate and makes me proud of being part of this ancient culture that is still enlightening the world today. Victoria in South Australia. Mr. Luke Donnellan, MP, a Labour Party member, is the Victorian Minister of Roads and Road Safety and Minister of Ports. "It gives me great pleasure to welcome Shenyan Performing Arts back to Melbourne in 2015, he wrote. "Shenyan has continued to captivate audiences around the world, giving them a rare insight into the beauty and vibrancy of traditional Chinese culture. The talent of the Shenyan performers is undoubtedly something to behold, and we are very fortunate to be given the opportunity to witness a Shenyan performance once again." Tung Ngo from the South Australian Legislative Council for the Australian Labour Party wished his best for the performances. "I would like to congratulate you on your incredible work showcasing 5,000 years of traditional Chinese culture through dance, music, and costumes. The Chinese community contributes so much to Australian culture, and I applaud you for continuing to showcase traditional Chinese culture to the world." West Australia. Although the Shenyan Tour 2015 does not include West Australia, quite a few government officials wrote to praise the event, including MPs Ms. Melissa Park and Ms. Alana McTiernan. Ms. Park from the Labour Party wrote, "I am sure this beautiful production with its distinctive artistic combination of music, color, and light will again create significant interest in Chinese culture and will delight the many Australians who enjoy the diversity of high-quality performing arts companies like Shenyan that visit our shores." Ms. McTiernan wrote, "The beauty and quality of the performances of last year's tour was extraordinary. It was a true celebration of the richness of traditional Chinese culture. These performances intensify the relationship of the Australian and Chinese people. I look forward to another transformative experience." Labour Senator for Western Australia in the Parliament of Australia, Joe Bullock, was pleased to welcome the Shenyan performance as the Year of the Goat approaches. He was confident that their performances will provide Australians of all backgrounds with a deeper appreciation of the wealth of Chinese culture and history and congratulate the Fallen Dafa Association of Australia on facilitating the visit of this world-renowned Chinese dance company to our country. "For Australia's growing community of Chinese-born citizens, and for my wife especially, performances of this nature are eagerly awaited and greatly appreciated. To both the performers and these audiences, I extend my best wishes for a successful season and a prosperous new year," Bullock wrote. New York, students of 9-day Falun Dafa seminar persevere amidst winter storms. Despite two potentially massive snowstorms in New York in the past 2 weeks, attendees of a 9-day Falun Dafa video lecture seminar managed not to miss even one day. The seminar, held at Tianti Books in Manhattan, was originally scheduled to begin on January 26, 2015. Unfortunately, the weather forecast predicted a possibly catastrophic blizzard in the Northeast U.S. that day. Flights and the schools were canceled. Subways and trains were shut down. The New York governor issued a travel ban on the 26th, asking people to stay at home that night. the lecture seminar had to be postponed for 2 days. 6 days into the 9-day seminar, a similar super snowstorm was about to hit again. Students who had been attending the class were facing the dilemma of whether to attend the class. Diana, 7 months pregnant with twins, was one of them. She had learned about the video lecture series a year ago, but hadn't found the time to attend. Knowing she would have even less time to spare once the babies arrived, she was determined to complete the seminar this time. "If I weren't pregnant and so uneasy on my feet, this weather would not keep me away from the workshop," explained Diana. "The other day I slipped even getting out of a cab." A volunteer told Diana that it was totally understandable if she could not make it to the class on the 6th day and encouraged her to make it up later. Those who came on time agreed to wait for those who were late because of the weather. It turned out that no one skipped class that day. When Diana was climbing up the stairs, another student greeted her excitedly. "Welcome, the three of you." This class of students represented the spirit of New York City, a melting pot. They came from 9 countries, the U.S., Canada, the U.K., Romania, China, Guatemala, Iran, Japan, and Argentina.
CCP torture methods. Water torture. In its campaign to force Falun Gong practitioners to renounce their beliefs, the Chinese Communist regime employs various torture techniques using water, among many other methods. According to reports compiled by Mingwei.org, the following water torture techniques are often used on practitioners incarcerated in labor camps, detention centers, and prisons. Hosing female practitioners' genital areas. Simulated drowning. Dipping or pressing practitioners' heads into water. Stripping practitioners naked and pouring cold water on their bodies. Dumping water onto practitioners' heads. Pouring water over fully clothed practitioners and not allowing them to change afterwards. Holding practitioners still in containers or ponds full of frigid water. Below, we present cases in each category. Simulated drowning, head dipped or held in water. Officers at Anjia Police Station in Jiangsu Province filled a large sink with water to torture Mr. Ryu Lagao and Mr. Kai Jianhua. Both men were handcuffed and shackled. The police held them upside down and dipped their heads into the sink several times to simulate drowning sensations. Both victims choked in the water. Mr. Jiang Guobo, a former official of the Weifang City Political and Legal Affairs Committee, was stripped naked and had his hands and feet tied up. The guards next pressed his head into water to suffocate him. They also used a hose to spray water into his mouth and nose to restrict his breathing. This torture lasted over half an hour each time. Guards at Chianing Detention Center in Hebei Province stripped Mr. Huang Junliang naked and forced him to squat down with the back of his head pressed against a wall. They slowly poured water over the top of his head. When the water ran over his nose, it would form a waterfall, covering his nostrils and mouth. To catch his breath, Mr. Zhang had to swallow mouthfuls of water. By the time the torture was over, his belly was visibly bloated. Stripped naked and had cold water poured over body. A woman was arrested in December 2000 after she went to Beijing and displayed a protest banner reading, "Falun Dafa is good." While in detention, she was forced to stand barefoot on the concrete floor and savagely beaten. She passed out as a result, only to be awakened by inmates. They next stripped her naked and poured 3 basins of cold water over her. Her menstrual blood flowed everywhere. A doctoral student from Nankai University in Tianjin had 27 buckets of cold water poured over his naked body after he was forced to reveal that he was 27 years old. Guards at Shuangko Forced Labor Camp in Tianjin stripped Mr. Ying Guang to his underwear and restrained him to a bed. Inmates kept pouring cold water on him, and the bed was soon soaked. In the meantime, a fan was turned on at the maximum setting to blow cold air towards him. Mr. Du suffered frostbite on his feet. A guard ordered inmates to cover him with a quilt, and they proceeded covering him with a quilt soaked with cold water for more than 3 hours. In the winter of 2007, when the temperature dropped to freezing or below, prisoners in Deyang Prison in Sichuan Province poured basins of cold water over Mr. Chiang Chio until he shivered all over. This was repeated every few days. After the shower, they forced him to walk over 40 meters back to his cell naked. He was still disallowed to put on any clothes in the cell and had to sleep on a coir mattress and cover himself with a thin quilt. Mr. Xiang was in his 60s at the time with serious physical injuries from torture. He had a high fever for days and his body twitched continuously. He also became completely incontinent and the mattress was soiled. Mr. Liu Ninghe, a former high school teacher from Liang Yungang of Jiangsu Province, was stripped naked outside and had icy water poured over him. His tormentors next held his hands against window bars to freeze him. The weather was so cold that his tormentors had to pull their hands away to warm themselves. Mr. Liu broke free for a moment, only to be captured and badly beaten. In the ensuing struggle, his head hit the cement floor and blood gushed from his forehead. Cold water dumped onto head. One July day in 2008, guards at Qihu Prison in Liaoning Province had two inmates strip Mr. Gong Enrong and hold him down. Three other prisoners then doused cold water over the top of Mr. Gong's head. Such torture was dubbed brainwashing at the prison. Mr. Guo suffered similar tortures at Qingcheng Detention Center in Liaoning Province. He was forced to squat down and had cold water poured over the top of his head until his lips turned purple. Mr. Zhao from Heilongjiang Province had his head held under a water tap at Pingfang Detention Center during the coldest time of the year. The guards turned on the tap to drip water onto Mr. Zhao's head until he shivered all over and his head became numb. Mr. Fu Yao, a music teacher at Nongfeng High School in Shuangcheng, Heilongjiang Province, was once lined up together with eight other practitioners of Chang Lin Ji Forced Labor Camp. They were all stripped naked and made to squat in a line. Guards had cold water poured over the practitioner's head continuously. Some practitioners lost consciousness as a result. Doused with cold water while fully clothed. After being deprived of bathroom use, guards at Shandong Women's Forced Labor Camp gave Mrs. Mo Yuping a shower by dousing her with icy water. Her winter jackets and pants were soon soaked, but the guards did not allow her to change. Instead, they opened the door and the window to let the cold air in, and Mrs. Mo's clothes soon became frozen. She developed a nervous system disorder as a result. In Division 5 of Liaoning Province, women's prison was a ghost room set up specially for torturing Falun Gong practitioners. In the coldest part of winter, guards forced Mrs. Han Shujun to stand in the courtyard barefoot and poured cold water into her winter jacket. It was snowing at the time, and the temperature was 20 degrees below zero. When she still refused to renounce her belief in Falun Gong, a guard thrust the handle of a toilet plunger into her mouth. Mrs. Jiang Shuqia also suffered at the same prison when she was in her 60s. Two inmates poured cold water from her neck down, completely soaking her clothes. She was then made to stand still for a long time in a room with the windows open. Held still in containers or ponds full of cold water. While incarcerated at Debei Prison, Mr. Zhang Jie was forced to sit for over 10 hours inside a large basin filled with cold water, all the while having water poured over him. Mrs. Zhao Shujiang suffered similar torture at Harbin Drug Addiction Treatment Center. She was made to sit in cold water in only her underwear and shocked with electric batons at the same time. She lost consciousness 3 times during the torture. Mr. Liu Yuping was made to sit inside a large dirty tank every day for refusing to renounce his belief in Falun Gong. Guards at Tai Lai Prison filled the tank up to his neck, soaking his winter coat. In a remote county in Inner Mongolia, police threw a group of Falun Gong practitioners into a waist-deep pond. Even female practitioners who were menstruating were not spared. Practitioners were forced to soak in the water for over 10 hours at a time. Two other cases also involve the use of ponds as punishment tools. Mr. Fang Qingjun from Hebei Province was thrown into a crystallizing pond. He was forced to soak in the frigid water for a day at a time, which left him with arthritis and back and leg pain. In Sichuan Province, Mr. Yang Xianjun was thrown into a cold pond in a garden at the government compound. He was soaked neck deep for half a day.
Over 10,000 in Hebei Province signed petition to end live organ harvesting and bring perpetrators to justice. The Chinese Communist Party, CCP, is engaged in harvesting organs from living Falun Gong practitioners for lucrative profits. This outrage has prompted many to step forward, calling for an end to organ harvesting and punishment for the perpetrators. Falun Gong practitioners in Zhangjiakou, Hebei Province, China, have been collecting signatures on a petition demanding that the perpetrators, Jiang Zemin, Jiang Qingkong, Zhou Yongkang, and Bo Shilai, all high-ranking CCP officials, be brought to justice and forced organ harvesting stopped. As of the end of 2014, 10,846 people have signed the petition. That does not include the 2,500 signatures from February to July 2014 that have already been reported. Signers' comments. After reading the petition describing the CCP's crimes, a retiree said, "Jiang Zemin has always done wrong. I absolutely want to sign." He also gave his fingerprint and renounced the CCP and its affiliated organizations. After listening to an explanation of the CCP's live organ harvesting, an older lady started to cry, "The party is so heinous. It kills so many people. I want to sign the petition." She picked up the pen but realized she didn't know how to write and asked, "Can you help me sign it?" She put her fingerprint on the form. In a food wholesale shop, a practitioner asked a sales lady, "Has anyone told you to withdraw from the CCP and its affiliated organizations for a safe future?" The lady answered, "Yes, and they helped me quit the party. I know Falun Gong is good. Falun Gong practitioners are good people." As the practitioner was showing her the petition form, a customer came in. She said, "Don't worry, I want to sign the petition too." While distributing calendars with Falun Gong information, practitioners told the recipients, "The CCP is harvesting organs from the living. Bo Shilai and Zhou Yongkang have been arrested. Jiang Zemin issued the order to harvest organs from Falun Gong practitioners. Now, the World Organization to Investigate the Persecution of Falun Gong, WOIPFG, is investigating Jiang." One man raised his right hand and shouted, "Down with Bo Shilai and Zhou Yongkang. Do a thorough investigation." In a farmer's market, a lady in her 40s said to a practitioner, "You came to my village to advise me to quit the CCP. I saw your petition but didn't sign it. I read your information after I got home, and now I understand. I condemn live organ harvesting. Today I saw you again, and I want to sign." She also gave her fingerprint. A truck driver was on a phone call when he took some informational materials from a practitioner. He put them next to him and asked for a signature form. He glanced at it while still talking on the phone. He took a pen, signed the form, and gave his fingerprint. Background. The CCP initiated the persecution of Falun Gong in 1999 and has been carrying out its ruthless policy ever since. Hundreds of thousands of Falun Gong practitioners have been arrested, detained, and imprisoned in forced labor camps, brainwashing centers, and prisons. The CCP continues to demonize Falun Gong in all of the country's media, and the propaganda and censorship have misled people who do not have access to the facts. The state-orchestrated crime of organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners is being carried out by the military, armed police, prisons, and medical professionals, all of whom profit from this grisly enterprise. Practitioners now constitute a very large organ bank. At least 865 hospitals and 9,500 medical professionals are involved, according to the WOIPFG. Based on postings on Chinese hospital websites and papers published in medical journals, these hospitals have transplanted no fewer than 176,000 kidneys, 40,000 livers, and 137,000 corneas through September 2014. Despite the ongoing persecution and censorship in China, more and more people are learning the facts and are willing to help stop it. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.